thank you, Jesus, that you are here. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for our every need. So we open up our hearts right now. We open up our minds. And we ask, Holy Spirit, speak to us your truths this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you all. We're getting to that time in the year where everyone is heading off on holiday and many members of our congregation are traveling here, there, and everywhere. And it's interesting because the Lord deposited just a wee phrase into my heart just over the last couple of weeks regarding the congregation here at Mossvale Community Church. This is not my sermon for today, by the way. This is just a side. You get that one for free. And it was that the Lord wants to bless us this summer with spirit-soaked Selah moments. That the Lord wants to bless this church family, this summer with spirit-soaked Selah moments. And that's my prayer for Pastor Hugh and Gail right now. And it's my prayer for all of us as a congregation, regardless of whether you're staying at home this summer or whether you're traveling around. May the Lord bless you with that also. Okay, on to the actual message for today. Let me ask you a question to ponder. You don't need to answer it aloud, but do you ever feel like you haven't got enough? That you feel that you've not got enough money. Perhaps you feel that you've not got enough hours in the day. That you've not got enough strength. Or you've not got enough willpower. Or perhaps you yourself, you feel like you are not enough. You know, I think we've probably all felt this way at one time or another in our lives when we don't have enough or we don't think that we're quite enough. It can be quite scary, I think, when you have that moment where you think, how am I going to make it through? How am I going to get through this? Will I get through this? How will I make ends meet? I wonder if that's how you feel today. Will I be able to do it? Well, there's lovely, encouraging scripture in the Bible from Paul in 2 Corinthians, and he says this about God. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Amen. Very well-known scripture there. We may feel like we don't have enough or that we are not enough. However, God's grace provides us with exactly what we need. Because he is enough. You know, when Paul wrote these words, when he spoke these words about God, he himself was in a time in his life where he did not have enough. He did not have enough strength at this particular time in his life. He was desperate to have relief from his burden. And there is two ways to bring about that relief. The heavy load can simply just be removed. Could just be lifted off your shoulders. And believe you me, God can do that, can't he? However, the other way is by strengthening the shoulders to bear the weight. To sustain you under the weight of the burden. And God strengthened Paul. And God showed his strength time and time again through Paul's apparent weakness, through that thorn in his side. So we ourselves may feel like we're not enough or that we don't have enough, but by God's grace, he has given us himself. He is enough. His grace is sufficient for our every need, whatever that need is, because he can supply that need. And that's what we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, starting today and next week. We are going to look at the fact that God is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Everyone say Jireh. Jireh, because that's what we're going to look at, Jehovah Jireh, today and next week. It's one of the names of God listed in the Bible. There are other names, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisa, but we're not going to look at all of them. I'd need about 4 months. We're just going to look at Jehovah Jireh. And God is first referred to as provider Jehovah Jireh in the Old Testament, way back in the book of Genesis. And woman to woman, ladies, you know this because we've studied this year. And it was Abraham that actually called God Jireh. And we're going to look at that next week. Because God is Jireh, isn't he? He is our provider. I think someone needs to hear that today. Someone has come into church today and they needed to hear today that God is your provider. So when you feel like you don't have enough, he is your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. When you don't have enough money, when you don't have enough strength, when you don't have all the resources that you think you need, when you don't have the wisdom that you think you need, God is enough. Let me tell you, he is enough, for he is Jireh. So as I said, we're going to look at that moment in biblical history next week. God is Jireh. But for the remainder of today, we're going to look and concentrate on the fact that his grace is sufficient. So whatever needs you brought in the door this morning, because I'm sure there's a few needs in the house this morning, because we're only human. That's why I can say that with full confidence. God is provider, and his grace is sufficient for your every need. And let me tell you, I could do a whole month on this Jehovah Jireh, because the Bible is actually full of stories. Full of stories of God providing exactly what his children needed at the exact moment in which they needed it. So many stories. Take the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert. They were hungry. They were thirsty. What did God do for the children of Israel in the desert? He provided them with manna. He provided them with everything that they needed. He sustained them. And not only did he to provide for them food and water, but he also provided for them comfort and assurance. Is that what you're looking for today? Comfort and assurance. How do we know that? Because he covered them. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He provided. Then there was Gideon, one of the judges in the Old Testament. He was afraid, hiding out in the wine press. A mighty army coming against him. What did he need? Well, along with many others in scripture, Gideon needed courage. I wonder if there's someone in the house this morning as God is asking you to be brave, to have courage. Do you feel that the task ahead of you seems overwhelming? Let me tell you something. God can give you that courage. He can give you the strength that you need. Or maybe it's physical strength that you need. Maybe some of us feel a bit weary in the body today. What did he do for Samson? He gave Samson strength. He provided strength. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like you've been caught in a battle. Anyone feel like they're in a scrap at the moment, that you're facing an opposition? It might not be the Philistines, but it's a giant for you. And you're in the middle of a battle right now. Well, there are many stories of God's men and women in scripture that found themselves on the battlefield, and there and then, right in the battle lines, he gave them exactly what they needed. He gave them battle strategies that led them to great victories. They didn't have to do anything because God is provider, Jehovah Jireh. His grace is sufficient for our every need. If it's comfort, he can give you comfort. If it's shelter, shelter. Assurance, he will give you that assurance. If it's financial, yes. If you have a financial need today, it's keeping you awake at night. God is in the business of supply. Yes, he is. In fact, we're going to look at a well-known story today from 2 Kings chapter 4. Well-known story. Love this story. Preached on it many, many times. And it's the story of the widow's oil. And in this story, we see perfectly the hand of Jehovah Jireh. So before we look at this widow's story, let me ask you once again, let's personalize this. You see, we want God to speak to us personally today, do we not? So we're opening up our hearts right now and we're asking God to speak to us. So do you feel that there is a lack in your life right now? Are you in need of supply right now? Are you overwhelmed with your situation right now? Apologies, that's three questions rather than one question. But ponder those questions. Is this for you today? Where do you go for help? Who do you look to? Who do you turn to? Well, in this story, the widow turned to God in her time of need. Let's read it. We're going to go to 2 Kings now, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She replied, "Your servant has nothing at all, except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go out inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Amen. May God bless the reading. What an incredible story. You know, doesn't that just excite you? What an amazing story of God's provision right there. So what do we learn about this widow? Well, we know it's a godly family. We know that because she is the wife of one of the prophets. Sadly, he has died. He served as a prophet under Elisha. They were part of a training school for prophets, if you like. Now, that wasn't an easy job. Not at this particular time. Because you see, these prophets served during the reign of one of the most evil kings, King Ahab. And let me tell you about Ahab, and I know you know this. He had an even more evil wife, and her name was Jezebel. And Jezebel actually made it her mission to hunt down and capture the prophets. Many of them would hide out in caves in order to stay safe. It was a sport for her. So being a prophet was not an easy job. Wouldn't have been easy on this family. So we know that he's passed on, her husband is passed on, and she decides to go and see the prophet. She's had that moment at the kitchen sink. She probably didn't have a sink, but let's just pretend. She has that moment at the kitchen sink, because I've had this moment. I'm sure you've had a moment like this, where you've thought to yourself, "I am overwhelmed by my situation." Maybe somebody in the house this morning has had that very moment this very week. And you've thought to yourself, "I need help. Where does my help come from?" David had one of those moments. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that that's what she cried out. My help comes from the Lord. How do I know that? Because she goes to see the man of God. She goes to see the man that represents Yahweh. But what was her need? Well, we know that her husband has died. We know that she's got two boys, so she's grieving, isn't she? She's hurting. There is loss. She's in pain. And we've heard a lot at Moss Vale over the last month that the Lord is so close. Let me tell you, He is so close to those whose hearts are breaking. And His desire is to bandage our wounds. So she's grieving. But if that were not enough for one person to cope with, she also finds herself in a situation, church, that she has a large debt that she cannot repay. And here's the reality of this situation. She knows that if she does not pay this debt, then the creditors are coming and they're going to take her two sons. They're going to take her two sons as payment. I know this sounds barbaric. The legal system in Israel at this particular time would not allow women to file for bankruptcy. Okay? This is part of the Mosaic law. I wish it wasn't, but it was. She had no social standing. She had no voice. She could do nothing. Okay? She is absolutely destitute. She is destitute. She is desperate. She is at breaking point. This is what she's facing. She's lost her husband, the love of her life. He's also her protector. He's her kinsman redeemer. She's penniless. She's grieving. And now she's facing losing her two kids. As a mother, I can't bear to even comprehend what that must feel like. Now, I don't know about you if you've ever experienced this kind of pain and desperation when you feel like all hope is lost, that you just can't go on. Maybe like this woman, it's been caused by the pain of loss, or maybe for you it's a financial strain. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never admitted it to anyone else, but perhaps you and your family, perhaps you're under a huge financial strain right now. Quite often when we feel like this, we can feel like there's no point. No point in continuing. You see, fear sets in during moments like this. We don't know what decision to make. We don't know the right decision. You see, our path ahead of us is clouded by pain and fear and anxiety. You know, if this woman had just given up, if she'd have just given in, the reality of the situation is that her two sons would no longer be with her. And goodness knows where they would have ended up. Feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, they can lead us to think that there is no way out and that you have nothing. And here's the thing, I have a specific word for someone today. Might just be one person, but as I was preparing for this during the week, this week, there's someone in the house this morning and you have had this moment recently that you have felt like there is no point in going on. That you don't want to continue. That you can't face today and you don't want to be here tomorrow. Can I encourage you today? This woman felt like this. She felt like this. I believe it with all of my heart. She felt like this. And I know that you feel like this. But there is help. God is here. He loves you. He is your provider. And there is a way out. There is. And if that is you, can I encourage you? If I might just be speaking to one person today, whoever you are, I know that you're here. Because the Holy Spirit impressed it upon my heart for you today. Would you come and see me privately, please, at the end of the service? You see, our pain can often blind us. Our pain can blind us from what we actually do have. In those moments of deep, deep pain, we believe, we convince ourselves, and the enemy lies to us and tries to trick us into believing that we've got nothing. We've got no future, we've got no hope, there is no point in getting out of our bed. But let me tell you something. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. When Elisha asks the woman, what do you have? What does she say? Nothing. tells us that in Scripture. She says nothing, but she didn't just have nothing. She did have something. She had a little drop of oil. And you know what else she did have? She had faith. She had faith and a little drop of oil. And he points that out to her. And that person that I was speaking to a moment ago, you might think you have nothing. But see, if you're listening into this sermon at home today, or whether you're in the house today, let me tell you something. You do have something because you're here. So faith brought you here today. Faith got you out your bed today and got you dressed today. You may have not washed your face. That's fine. I don't care. God doesn't care. But you're here. You have faith in your heart. And let me tell you something. See, if you offer to God what you have in faith, He can transform that. He can multiply that. He can do amazing things with that because He is provider. And His grace is sufficient for our every need. You know, if the Apostle Paul was here today, he would say, no matter how hard it is, dear brother, no matter how difficult it is, dear sister, whether you've been brought down low, whether you're facing giants, whether you've got plenty or whether you've got nothing, you can overcome this, for you are more than a conqueror. You are. You are. So this woman, she turned to God. She did this by going to the man of God. This took courage. It took faith. She didn't have a clue. She didn't have a clue. She didn't know how God was going to sort it all out. And that should encourage us today. You don't need to know how He's going to sort it. You just need to come. You just come. You just need to trust that if you cried out, Abba, He has heard you. She cried out to God, and her faith was enough for God's supply. It starts with having faith to believe that He can truly change your life. Do you believe it? Do you believe with all your heart today that He can change your situation? Yes, I believe it. So she tells Elisha exactly what's going on. She tells him the whole story. Did you see that? Nothing held back. She doesn't bend the truth. She doesn't try to dumb it down or anything like that. She just tells it exactly like it is. My husband's dead. I'm broke and I'm broken. I love that straight talking. Just tell God how you feel. You know, sometimes you go to these prayer meetings and you hear people praying these lovely prayers and thy and thee and all of that. You know, just come to God. Just say, God, I am broke. I am broken. God, I am hurting. God, I am ashamed. God, I need you. Just like David did. Get your nose in the Psalms. You'll see this type of exchange between David and God. Just tell him exactly how it is. And don't worry about how he's going to sort it. Because he's already got a plan. Because he's Jehovah Jireh. You don't need to wait until you've got it all sussed out. Just come. So what about you today? Are you prepared to take that bold step and come to Jesus with your concern? Come to Jireh. This woman's faith was enough for God's supply. And it starts with just a little drop of oil and a little drop of faith. So are you worried that you've not got enough? Or that you're not enough. You know, God knew how to help this woman. He had a plan for this woman's breakthrough. And God's already got a plan for your breakthrough. So here's the plan. He tells her, go and ask all your neighbors for jars. Seems like a pretty odd request. Because when I read the story, she's not got anything to put in the jars. She's got absolutely nothing. Go and collect as many jars as you possibly can. And can you imagine going round all of those doors, chatting all those doors? Oh, hello, Jeannie. Can I have a jar? Oh, what are you baking? What are you making? What are you doing? Think about all the questions that she's carrying around. Where we boys, all these jars. What's going on here? You know, did she lay out all her dirty laundry? Did she have to overcome that embarrassment and pride to get to where she needed to be? Did you see that? Your breakthrough is just around the corner. But you might just need to get over your pride and your embarrassment in order to receive it. She allowed herself to be vulnerable. Are you willing to allow yourself to be vulnerable before the Master today, Jehovah Jireh, your provider? For He is here. He is here. She had to admit that she needed help, and that's scary. It's scary to admit that you need help. You know, when we ask folk to come out their seats and come to the altar to respond to an altar call, that takes guts. That takes courage. And I often say to the people at the front, your healing, whatever it is you're coming forward for, your healing starts to be activated the minute you lift that bottom off that seat. Because it's that that God's responding to. Not necessarily to the words that I pray or Daddy prays. It's the fact that your heart is coming in faith saying, I need you, Jesus. And that's what God responds to. He responds to that kind of faith. You see it all throughout the scripture. This woman had to admit that she needed help. She had to overcome embarrassment. She had to be brave. She allowed herself to be exposed and vulnerable. She demonstrated to God that her desire for His will was greater than her embarrassment. I love that. Unashamedly, I don't care. I will do anything, anything that is possible to get to be where God needs me to be. I live by that. I live by that. Now, I want to pause for a moment because over the years when I've preached this and I've read commentaries about it, and I've obviously read a commentary at some point or heard someone talk about this, and there was this moment in this story, this collecting in the jars. So I'm just going to take a wee sidestep for a moment because I want us to just pause at this for a moment. Elisha, you see, was a man of God. He was a prophet. He knew God intimately. And when you know someone intimately, you just know them, don't you? Like, I know Gordon well, very well. I know what he likes. I know what he doesn't like. And sometimes even know what he's thinking before he even speaks it. That's how in tune I am with him. And that is usually, they've no emptied that dishwasher again. But when you're intimate with someone, when you walk closely with someone, you know their voice and you know their heart, don't you? You know their heart for certain things. And you see, the prophet Elisha knew God. And he knew the Father's heart. And in knowing the Father's heart, Elisha would have known that the Father's heart is to care for the widows and the orphans. Amen? He will have known that as a man of God who walked closely with the Lord, which we know he did. And he knew that God deeply, deeply cared for the widows and the orphans. But not only that, God wants us to deeply care for the widows and the orphans. He commands us, Psalm 82, defend the weak and the fatherless and uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. This was a widow and she was in need. And these were two boys that just lost their father and they are penniless. It was the responsibility of the community around them to care for them. Not only did she have to get out her comfort zone and admit her vulnerability and get over her pride, but it was actually the responsibility of the community to help them by asking them for the jars. They were getting involved in the process of helping her. You see, God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, but He wants us also to be jar givers. He wants us to get involved in the process. So let's be jar givers. Here at Mossvale Community Church, let's be givers of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And I'm really proud to say that this church has several ministries that are doing just that, providing for people in their time of need. So back to the woman, Jireh's provision. He told her, take the jars, take them home, shut the door. He told her to take what little she had and start to pour it out. And as she began to pour out that little drop, one jar after another jar after another jar, and miraculously God supplied everything that she needed. Wow, that gives me goosebumps. In fact, by the time she got to the end of this process, she had more than she actually needed to pay off the creditors. So not only was she able to pay her debt, but she and her sons were able to live in what she had left over. Reminds me of 12 baskets left over in the mountain with Jesus. So let's wrap this up. The woman in the story, when we first encountered her, she believed she had nothing. She was desperate. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She didn't know how God was going to sort it out. But she had the faith to believe that if she went to God, he would hear her cry. And we know she did that because she went to the man of God. She took her little drop of oil and her faith to believe that God would come through. And that was enough to change her life and save her children. She didn't let fear stop her. She didn't let pride get in the way. She just collected those jars in and she went home. And with her two beautiful babies, she just watched how God performed this amazing, miraculous breakthrough in their lives. And the Lord supernaturally increased her supply. And let me tell you something, she didn't have to do anything. God did it all. He knew exactly what she needed and he supplied it because he is Jireh. And not only that, they had a future. God supplied a future for them as well. You know, the same grace is on offer today for each and every one of us. Like the woman, you don't actually need to do anything to receive it because our Lord Jesus Christ has already made a way for you to receive it because Jesus Christ has paid our debt. He paid our debt on the cross. He went to Calvary and he wrote off our debt. Gabriella Orr, paid in full. Stephen Harvey, paid in full. Jesus did that. Jesus did that for us. Church, that is grace. For his grace is sufficient for our every need. So I'm going to invite the band to come back just now. We're going to spend some time continuing to worship God. What is God speaking to you this morning? Do you have a need? Did you come in with a need this morning? God is here and he is your provider. He cares for you. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm just going to pray simply just now. And if God has spoken to you today, you just want to open up your palms. Just present yourself to him. I'm not going to ask you to air your dirty laundry or anything like that. But just you bring your need to God today and allow God to do the rest. And then after we've done that, we're going to stay in that position of worship. And our lovely men's ministry team are going to lead us and serve us in communion. So Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can declare that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are our provider, and that you have promised to be with us always. So Lord God, for your children today, whatever need they brought in the door, wherever there is lack, where they feel they don't have enough, if it's strength they need, Lord, I pray right now, they would just tell you, Lord, I need strength. Lord, for my brothers and sisters today, if it's comfort they need, I pray that they would say, Lord, just give me comfort. If like this woman today, there is financial need in the house, Lord, I pray that they would step over their embarrassment and pride and say, Lord, I need help. Help me, God. Where there is doubt and fear, I pray that they would remove that in the name of Jesus and allow you to supernaturally work. Because sometimes, Lord God, we get all worked up and we don't know how to sort it out ourselves. But what you're saying today, Lord God, is that we don't need to sort it out ourselves. We just need to bring it to you. So we lay down our need right now. And we cry, Abba, Father. We know that our help comes from you. You are the giver of life. You're the one that has given us life. You're the one that died to give us life. So Father, meet our needs today. And we thank you, Lord God, that you paid our debt, that you wrote our debt off, Lord God, that Jesus, that you died so that we don't have to pay that debt. And Lord, if there's anyone in the house today that's hearing this morning for the very, very first time that God is their provider, that God is the one that can lead them out, that God is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus died to set them free, and that Jesus paid their debt, and they're hearing today this for the first time, and their heart right now is pounding out their chest, Father God, because they know that you are the answer, then I pray, Almighty God, that they would receive you as their King. I pray, Almighty God, that they would say this prayer, Lord God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you paid my debt for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me of my sin and come into my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that you're my provider. In Jesus' name. Father, for anyone who's prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, Father God, I pray that you would be so close to them. I pray that you would surround them with godly men and women that would support them in their new journey with you. For anyone that feels helpless and hopeless this morning, I pray that they would know that you indeed are our hope. So Lord, we give thanks for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that is transforming us from the inside out. And we give you the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to hand over to